We are gathered together in the presence of God to remember His sovereignty in death as in life, and to seek His word for our heart. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." Let us sing to the praise of our good and sovereign God, "A mighty fortress is our God." Number 92, to his praise. Saints of God, let us approach the throne of grace. Eternal God, before whom the generations of men pass away, we come before you. As you have sent us into this life, you have appointed a time for our departure from it. As you give, so you take away, that we may remember our frailty and acknowledge the brevity of all things here. In this time of our loss, you alone can be our consolation. So speak to us in the solemnity of this hour as we wait upon you with reverent and submissive heart. Speak to us through your holy scriptures of things eternal and bring comfort and hope and courage to your faithful people, O God of our salvation. We ask it through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Please be seated.
Scripture interprets for us God's providence and His working in our lives. We turn now to the Word of God to hear the voice of God speak to us in Psalm 103, a Psalm of David. Hear now the Word of God. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of His benefits, who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. The Lord performs righteous deeds and judgments for all who are oppressed. He made known His ways to Moses, His acts to the sons of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. He will not always strive with us, nor will He keep His anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His loving kindness toward those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him, for He Himself knows our frame. He is mindful that we are but dust. As for man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. When the wind has passed over it, it is no more, and its place acknowledges it no longer. But the loving kindness of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him, and His righteousness to children's children, to those who keep His covenant and who remember His precepts to do them. The Lord has established His throne in the heavens, and His sovereignty rules over all. Bless the Lord, you His angels, mighty in strength, who perform His word, obeying the voice of His word. Bless the Lord, all you His hosts, you who serve Him, doing His will. Bless the Lord, all you works of His, in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. This is God's true and perfect word. May He bless the reading and hearing of it to us.
His life to ransom my soul.
We continue our reading in God's Word from the Gospel, the Good News according to John, in John chapter 16, verses 20 through 33. In this passage, Jesus announces to His disciples the coming sorrow of His death and the coming joy of His resurrection. Hear now and take to heart these words of comfort from John chapter 16. Truly, truly, I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned to joy. Whenever a woman is in travail, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she gives birth to the child, she remembers the anguish no more, for joy that a child has been born into the world. Therefore, you too now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and no one takes your joy away from you. And in that day you will ask me no question. Truly, truly, I say to you, if you shall ask the Father for anything, He will give it to you in my name. Until now you have asked for nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be made full. These things I have spoken to you in figurative language. An hour is coming when I will speak no more to you in figurative language, but will tell you plainly of the Father. In that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I will request the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from the Father. I came forth from the Father and have come into the world. I am leaving the world again and going to my Father. His disciples said, Lo, now you are speaking plainly and are not using a figure of speech. Now we know that you know all things and have no need for anyone to question you. By this we believe that you came from God. Jesus answered them, Do you now believe? Behold, an hour is coming and has already come for you to be scattered, each to his own home, and to leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world. This is God's holy word. May He write its eternal truth upon our hearts.
Brothers and sisters, before we hear the word of God read and proclaimed, I want to say to you this day, as we come with questions in our hearts, so many questions, as we come with grief, you are in your Father's house, and His children may grieve freely here, but as those who have hope. And so as we express our broken hearts, let us do so openly, but also in faith, towards the God who loves us. Let me also say that there may be some who know not the Lord Jesus Christ, and so who know nothing of the hope about which we will speak, the hope which my dear friends so strongly are anchored in. This day may indeed be the day of your salvation, for God deals with us now of eternal things. So as we go to His Word, hear it attentively. This is the Word of God. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was blameless, upright, fearing God and turning away from evil. And 7 sons and 3 daughters were born to him. His possessions also were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and very many servants. And that man was the greatest of all the men of the East. And his sons used to go out and hold a feast in the house each one on his day, and they would send and invite their three sisters to eat and drink with them. And it came about when the days of feasting had completed their cycle that Job would send and consecrate them, rising up early in the morning and offering burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, "Perhaps my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." Thus Job did continually. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, "From where do you come?" And then Satan answered the Lord and said, "From roaming about on the earth and walking around on it." And the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? For there is no one like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, fearing God and turning away from evil." And then Satan answered the Lord, "Does Job fear God for nothing? Hast thou not made a hedge about him and his house and all that he has on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But put forth thy hand now and touch all that he has, he will surely curse thee to thy face." Then the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, all he has is in your power. Only do not put forth your hand on him." So Satan departed from the presence of the Lord. Now it happened on the day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house, that a messenger came to Job and said, "The oxen were plowing and the donkeys feeding beside them, and the Sabaeans attacked and took them, and they also slew the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you." And while he was still speaking, another also came and said, "The fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I alone have escaped to tell you." And while he was still speaking, another also came and said, "The Chaldeans formed three bands and made a raid on the camels and took them and slew the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone escaped to tell you." And while he was still speaking, another also came and said, "Your sons and your daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house, and behold, a great wind came from across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house, and it fell on the young people, and they died. And I alone have escaped to tell you." And then Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head, and he fell to the ground and worshiped. And he said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And through all this, Job did not sin, nor did he blame God. Amen. And thus ends this reading of God's holy, inspired, and inerrant word. May God write its eternal truth upon our hearts. Let us pray. Our God, we ask in the quietness of this hour for your illuminating grace, that by the Spirit we would see ourselves and our sins and the Savior who holds providence in his hands. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Many of us come today with grave questions in our hearts. Houston has left us with many questions that we will not be able to answer, and they will haunt us to some extent. And in this hour, I want to say to you, the only place to turn is to the gospel providence of the one true God set forth in his word. And it is my great joy as I stand before you to say that my dear brother and sister and their son, who have borne among all of us the greatest blow, trust firmly in the good and wise providence of God. And it is very possible that there are some who are here today are not so comforted. And you have not been able to betake yourself to God in His goodness and mercy to see His hand even in this dark thing. And so I want to point you to the words of Job, and I want you to see only two things this day. I want you to see what the Lord enabled Job in His grace to do in the hour of his greatest loss, to worship and to trust His providence. On the weekend when John F. Kennedy was assassinated, Carol Johnson was making her way home from graduate school, a brilliant, a bright, a beautiful young student who had graduated with honors from college and was in her first year from graduate school, coming home to spend the first weekend that she had had since going to Virginia for graduate school with her parents. And somewhere on a crossroad in North Carolina, a drunken driver ran a stoplight and ended her life. Chaplain of a major university, never got over it, and he blamed God. And over, his friends would come to comfort him, reminding him of the kind providence of God. He would say regularly, "This was not the will of God." And he would refuse their comfort. And my friends, if you are coming hiding that heart response in your hearts today, I point you to God's Word and to His faithful servant Job, who in the hour of death could say, "The Lord has given, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Do you see Job's response to his heart being ripped from his chest? He falls down and he worships God. Now, why do you suppose that he could do this? Because he knew his God, and he trusted his God more than he trusted his own instincts and experience and intelligence. And so often, my friends, in the hour of tragedy, in the hour of death, in the hour of confusion, we want to move God as far as we possibly can from it. And we can believe that God is involved in good things, but we can't believe that God has His hand even upon the evils of this life. And so to make this world safe, we move God off the stage and we take comfort in this, that He had nothing to do with it. And I want to tell you that that is the emptiest comfort ever offered by man, because if God is not in it, your trust is in nothing. That is not where the Tohill's trust is today. It is in the hands of a nail-pierced Savior who died to take away the sins of the world at the appointment of His Father's providence. And so why, you say, can Job worship God in this hour of his need, in this hour of his loss? Because he would later tell us, he knows that his Redeemer lives, and at the last day, he will stand upon this earth. Samuel Rutherford, in writing to a godly woman who had lost a husband and all her children, once said to her, "My dear lady, faith must learn to kiss a striking Lord." And that's exactly what Job had learned. And my friends, that is exactly what the Tohills know. And that is exactly what all gospel-believing Christians believe this morning, that there is nothing in this universe outside of the hands of a loving and omnipotent God. And if you are without this hope today, the only place for you to go is to the Savior. And when you bow to kiss His feet, you'll find something very interesting. You'll find nail prints there. Because the King of the universe died in humiliation that you might experience glory with Him forever if you would believe on him as he is offered in the gospel. And that is the only place where we find hope this day. So Job worshiped. But Job in his worship acknowledged freely God's sovereignty. Notice, the Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job does not take hope in this. Oh Lord, you are good, and you just didn't know this was coming. Oh Lord, you are good, and you've given me all good things, but not this. Oh Lord, you are good, and I know that you would have stopped this if you could. Oh Lord, you are good, and I know that you're just as puzzled by this as I... No, the Lord has given, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And there are some of you out there that are saying, how can you say that God could be involved in evil? How could God's hand be in this? And I say this, I ask you a harder question. How could God's hand be involved in the death of his own son? And yet in the hour of darkness, the Savior in Matthew 27:46 cries from the tree and he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? And the answer is given to us in Romans 8:32. He who spared not his own son, but delivered him up freely for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? The Father spared not his own son, that we might enjoy with him the blessings of eternal redemption. And my friends, if the hand of the Almighty God can be in that thing, there is nothing that is inexplicable in this life. And so Job goes squarely to the providence of God and he blesses God that he is in control. My friends, that's where we need to be in this hour. And I want you to see that Job's questions were not answered in this book. Job's questions, why, as far as we know from this book, you read chapter 1, you read chapter 2, you read the resolution in verse 42, why was never answered. The answer to Job was who, not why. And if you don't know the who, if you don't know the living Savior offered in the gospel, if you've never turned away from your works, good and bad, and rested in his arms by faith, if you've never trusted in his promises, in his word, and received the offer that he makes freely, come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest, then you don't know, you don't have a clue how Job is where he is, and you don't have a clue why the Tohills are where they are. And oh, my friends, more than anything else, Jim and Margaret Tohill want you to taste and see that the Lord is good. And they want you to know the face of a Savior who is sovereign and who has given his life that you might share the banquet feast of the Lamb for eternity. Oh, my friends, when we push God out of our problems, we are left with nothing but our own raw and weak will. Now, where is hope? Where is hope? It's not found in making God understandable. It's not found in making his ways understandable. It's not found in pushing him out of the hard things of life that we don't understand. It's found in trusting his goodness when our minds are boggled. Many of you have read the Chronicles of Narnia. And you know that place where Lucy turns after the great lion Aslan has been raised from the dead and she's frightened. And she turns and she says, is he safe? And Lewis puts in the reply of the character to Lucy, of course he's not safe, but he's good. And I want to say to you today, if you're wondering, what is going on here? I've got to make this safe. I've got to somehow domesticate it. I've got to tame it. I've got to make it manageable. I've got to make it understandable. I want to say to you about the sovereign God, of course he's not safe, but he's good. And if you'll trust him, you'll taste and see of that goodness which gives us hope in the face of the
horrendous tragedy. And that's where we are. And that's where I want you to be by the grace of the Savior. Trust Him now! And if you don't have a clue how to trust Him, you come talk to me. You come talk to Jim and Margaret Dothan. You come talk to the gospel-believing Christians gathered this day in this place. Because Christ will give you rest. May He be forever praised. Let's pray. Our Lord and our God, in the hour of death, You are our only refuge. And we praise You for Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Now let's sing to God's praise from number 691, It Is Well With My Soul.
Thank you.
My dear friends, I would that I could divide sorrow with you, but I am a beholder. May God Himself comfort you and allure you with the feasts of His love. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forevermore. Amen.